Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor, and Katie Galley with you here this afternoon. It's going to be a fantastic segment. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast with personal sport record, Matt Young. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic, Stone. Thanks so much for having me on today.
Matt, can you talk a little bit about personal sport record? What are you doing for folks?
Yeah, well, what we're trying to do is kind of rethink how we look at youth sport development. Typically, what we measure in youth sports is the score, who scored, and what the standings are. And while that's fine, what it doesn't do is allow a young athlete to understand where they're strong and where their opportunities for development are across a number of different metrics, physical, where they are physically, where they are mentally and socially. Where they are technically and tactically, did they finish the season with a better understanding than they started the season? So really, we're designing a platform that can provide that information for athletes, that can provide parents the information on how to best support their athletes' development, and provide quality coaching tips that can support coaches, who most are volunteers, on how to make sure that they're really doing a great job coaching these young athletes in their developmental pathways.
Now, can you talk a little bit about each constituent, the coach, the athlete, and the parent? Like, how would each of them use the platform?
Yeah, great question. So for the athletes, it's about aggregating all their data and having it in one spot. Typically, what we do as organizations or associations is we assess an athlete, if there is any assessment at all, and we keep that information. So we don't actually give it to the athlete to use, to have, to permission, to benefit from, to set goals around, or to be responsible for. We take it away from them. What we're trying to do is give it to the athlete and say, this is your information, and you need to know it. You need to take care of it. You can use it, permission it, share it, and evaluate it any way you'd like. So for the athlete, we're actually, giving them the keys to their own developmental pathway. For the parents, really what it's about is informing parents, how do I best support my son or daughter's athletic development. I can say with a high degree of certainty, it probably isn't the way most parents are doing it today, in living vicariously through their kids, or putting on them to score and the ride home as an interrogation rather than a positive reflection. So what we're trying to do is really get information, a lot of different information, videos, articles, seminars and summits on how parents can be better informed to support that development. And the same thing goes from a coaching perspective. What we've done is we've lined ourselves up with some really quality coach influencers in Canada and the US to walk parents through from an early age volunteer level, how they can set their practices, their best principles up to align with the American development model or the long-term athlete development model, to make sure that the kids are having fun and to make sure that what sport was designed to do, basically in my opinion, which is a dress rehearsal for real life, is actually what's taking place on the field, the pitch, the arena, or wherever that sport is being played.
So Matt, this is Katie. Using all of that information that you gather, and you want to give the athlete the information and kind of bridge that gap between the parents and the coaches and the athlete and kind of get them on the same page, and you want to have quality and all of the things that you learn in sport, but use it for good and use it for, beyond the athlete, what becomes of the athlete after their athletic career is over. How do you aspire to go about bridging that gap between the parent and the coach and the athlete?
It's a great question, Katie. And one of the things in sales, as we all know, that it takes between 6 and 12 points of contact before we can actually have a good chance at making the sale. I think it's a 5% chance with 5 points of contact. And as soon as it goes between 6 and 12, it goes up to 80%. So one of the things that we're trying to do is have different sources of messaging. So we've connected with all of the provincial in Canada sport organizations, in the Canada and the US national sport organizations, as a matter of fact, globally national sport organizations. And we're really trying to institute a top-down, bottom-up 6 to 12 points of contact and be very intentional about it for how we're going to bridge that gap. So typically what happens is we will publish an article or we'll see a good article and we'll post that and say, okay, we've done our job. You know, multi-sport athletes are much more successful than single sport athletes, and we'll publish an article and that will be it. That's not enough, unfortunately. We have to hear it from the organization. They have to be supportive of it. We have to hear a podcast like this that jogs our memory and goes, I heard about this. We have to see something in our hands that describes the pathway to longer term athlete development. You know, we have to watch a video that resonates with us. It's going to be multiple points of contact before we actually get our message across. And our message is quite simply, you know, athlete development, you know, is a process. And right now we are very outcome focused, the score, when we need to be a process focused, which is the development, the fun, the opportunity, et cetera.
Now, Katie, you're an athlete. You were a college athlete. How would you see the benefit of this type of service?
I mean, it seems great. You know, I love how, Matt, what you just said, focus on the process rather than the outcome. So it's, I mean, that speaks to what athletics is supposed to do, what it's supposed to foster in you anyway, just, you know, setting a high reaching goal and the development, the process to get to that goal, not necessarily the attainment of it or getting that gold medal or breaking the school record. It's how you get there and that goal setting and that passion and that drive. That is what will carry you throughout life. It's so much more than just receiving some kind of material object. So I really like what you said, Matt, about how it's the process and not just the outcome that is so key.
Now, Matt, can you talk about the genesis of this idea? Like, how'd you get involved with this?
Yeah, thank you for asking that question. So I have a son who plays sports. I played a lot of sports myself, and now I get to enjoy the benefits of being a parent who watches his sons play sports. So every year I would watch from a young age the door swing open from the evaluation in hockey, and kids would either come out and they would either be bawling or they would have the biggest grin they could ever in front of 250 parents. And that was an indication of where they landed on the teams. Were they on tier one, tier two, tier three, or house league? And I just thought, and then from that would ensue the whole, you know, how dare you, my kid's better than that kid, you know, and what I saw happening across multiple sports, not just hockey, it was in baseball and soccer too. What I saw happening was the community being fragmented. I saw people in our community, in our own community, you know, competing against each other versus what sport is supposed to be doing, which is bringing the community together. You meet new people and you have a better time. And I thought there's got to be a better way for coaches to have information about the historical progress of a kid, of coaches to be understanding of what the role is. Even if you're a volunteer coach, you still have a really important role in the development of kids' experiences, you know, of parents, like really understanding. I don't think it's, I want to hope it's not intentional. I think it's an unconscious incompetence and just not being well-informed. So we thought, you know, what could we do to inform parents and coaches and athletes about what should be happening and really wrap some accountability around it? Because like I said earlier, we're great at information and education. We share that all day long, 24 hours a day. Where we lack is the activation and accountability. So we'll all know what we're supposed to be doing and why we're supposed to be doing it, but we need a little bit more support on how. And that was the genesis for how the personal sport record came to be.
Now, when you're working with those three different constituents, how are each of them kind of leveraging this platform? Because they each have different kind of, they should, I guess, I have aligned goals, but I would think that they have slightly different agendas.
Yeah, for sure. I'll start with the coaching, because the coaching is probably one of the most important. So for the coaches, what we've done is, again, we've connected with, there's kind of three tiers of sport organization. You got the NSOs, which is the national sport organizations, and then you've got either the state or provincial sport organizations, depending on which country you're in, and then you've got the local sport organizations. What we've tried to do is connect with as many of the national organizations as possible and say, what is it that you want measured in terms of development? What are you looking for at a national level so that we could get some consistency and alignment all the way down from, you know, the top level to the provincial or state level to the local community level, instead of everybody doing their own thing, if they're even doing anything at all. So that's been one of our approaches, is to connect with as many organizations as possible in version one and get as much feedback as we could. And the minute we started hearing the same pieces of feedback 10, 12, 15 times, you know, across both countries, we said, okay, that's definitely something that needs to be embedded into this sport record. From an athlete perspective, it's easy, because what you're doing is you're allowing the athletes basically to have all their data and see where they are. You know, they can see where they line up. They can see where their opportunities are. But it's not just about collecting the data for the athlete. It's also about kicking them out to resources that say, here's your 40 meter time. If you want to improve it, here's how you can improve it. So from the athlete's perspective, it's easy, because we're actually giving them the tools. You know, and most times, you know, parents and coaches, we like to think that the athletes don't care or aren't interested, or even at a young age, don't know the score. They know what's going on. They are in tune. You know, and that's something that's come with the adultification of sport. We've forgotten a little bit who this is for and what this is all about. So for the athletes, it's pretty simple. For the parents, basically what we want to do is have the athletes and the sport organizations be able to see in one area. So it's a one-stop shop when the parents come in, because at a young age, it'll be very much parent and athlete input together. So the parents will help their sons or daughters put this in, and they'll be able to see what's going on. So they can have some objectivity around, you know, the information that's being shared, instead of right now, where you in the youth sports section, it's really one person's opinion that's based on their opinion. Now, it's not to say that they wouldn't be experienced, but as we all know, numbers don't lie. So if you're asking why isn't Jenny or Johnny on the power play or pitching, and then you could have you know, two answers. One answer is, well, because I don't think they pitch very well, or I don't think they skate fast enough. That's probably not going to go over well. But if you could have objectivity around that, saying, well, because right now we're working on the mechanics of Jenny or Johnny's pitching motion, and as you can see here, this is where we want to get to, and this is where we are now, so this is what's happening in practice. That's a much different conversation. And that's what we're trying to do for, you know, the parents, is bring them into this, supply them with the objective information that's coming both from the coaches, the organizations, and their athletes to be better informed.
So Matt, you talked a lot about, you know, the development of the athlete as a whole and the importance of getting the parents and the coaches involved from, you know, from the outset, from the get-go. So I wondered if you could talk a little bit about specializing in any one particular sport from a young age, and if you believe that might be to the detriment of an athlete or to just a young person, and or how it might help them grow as well.
Yeah, I am of the personal belief from experience that single sport participation is doing more harm than good to athletes. You know, we're seeing it from the evidence and the research that shows us that single sport participation is leading to a lot more injuries. It's leading to a lot sooner burnout of the athletes, and it's kind of taking away the enjoyment factor. Again, what sports is supposed to be all about, meeting new friends, having fun. Those are the number one and two reasons young kids play sports. What it's doing is it's turning that into a job. It's like a part-time job. And kids are starting increasingly to not look forward to getting up and going to work. I mean, when you're having one sport, or when you go to a sport that says, you know, if you're playing this sport, this has to be your priority over any other sports, U15, that's a big issue. That's a big issue, and that's something that is probably not advised. I certainly don't think it should be advised. We want to develop well-rounded people. We want to develop well-rounded movement patterns, well-rounded skills, well-rounded social abilities. We want people to connect with other people of different, you know, passions and enjoyment in sports. We don't want to make sport a job for a child at 7, 8, and 9 years old, because that's not going to benefit us. And we're seeing it, because the statistics don't lie. And what we're seeing is a massive drop in the participation in sport. And that's very scary, and it's very dangerous.
Now, can you share kind of your perfect scenario? You are a parent, but if you were to advise other parents and they have a child, maybe an eight-year-old that seems to have an affinity for athletics, how would you counsel them?
Yeah, I would suggest, and I do suggest all the time, to put their introduce their kids into as many sports as they can, you know, U15, because Stone, we talked about this, you know, elite. We talked about the word elite, and, you know, by the definition of the word elite themselves, like that's reserved for the Kevin Durant and LeBron James and Michael Jordans, the Michael Phelps. That's elite. You know, to suggest that a 7-year-old or an 8-year-old is elite, that's a sales pitch, in my opinion. You have to have wisdom. You have to have experience. You have to have tenure. You have to have, you know, a whole host of things to be really elite. And what I see is people selling the dream, and I call it emotional manipulation. You know, going to a parent, if you're, if Katie came over here, she can really fast track. I really see something in her, and it's just going to cost this much money. But we'll come over here. I promise on the other end. You know, there's always this promise to get further faster. And then what it does is it takes people out of the community. And again, I go back to that passion. It can, you know, diminish the passion and enjoyment and present itself like a job. Now, are there going to be anomalies that thrive in that environment? Sure. But the statistics are telling us that there's more that don't than do.
I think you touched on a really good point, which is something that I can speak to personally, just getting involved when you're young in as many different sports as possible. And then, you know, finding your way from there. I mean, my own parents let me choose whatever sports I wanted to do. And I played just pretty much all of them, anything I could sign up for. And then eventually you form your interests and you form those passions that you find and you decide on that main sport, or maybe you go in a different direction entirely. But something that definitely helped me, I chose track ultimately as my sport. And if I ever was frustrated, you know, up through high school and then into the collegiate level with my performances or what I was doing, I would always go back and ask myself the question, why did you start? So why did I even begin track and why did I choose it? And that always helped me realign my focus. But I can absolutely see what you're saying, where if from a young age, a person is, you know, told that they have to play this one sport, they have to specialize in this one sport, they're never allowed to develop that. They're never really allowed that chance to say, well, I started because I love it, because I love to skate, because I love to run. They, it's just ingrained in them that, well, they're going to be good at this one sport. And so I do see the real benefit of personal sport record. And even as a coach now, I've asked some of my own athletes if, you know, why did they begin? If they're ever struggling with something that they're, you know, trying to work towards, and they can't even come up with a real answer to that question. So I just wondered if you, through your, you know, what you're doing and what you're trying to accomplish, if you've come across that same sort of issue. It seems that kind of is the driving factor behind personal sport record.
Yeah, Katie, I'm really glad you brought that up for two reasons. And I want to give two answers to that. Number one is, you highlighted the social and mental aspects, the focus, the goal setting, the refocusing. That's something that's missing from sport. We tend to focus on the technical, tactical aspects or the physical aspects. How strong are you physically, and how good do you stick handle or dribble the ball or swing the bat? But we miss the social and mental aspects. And as we all know, the mental and social play a massive, massive role in engagement in sport. So that's one of the things that we have put into the sport record. So much so, in fact, and everything in the sport record, how it's been designed is the athlete can self-assess. So like you said, that opportunity for self-assessment and reflection on a couple of those indicators, the coach can assess the athlete, and the athlete can actually assess the coaches across those same indicators. So now we're getting some accountability. So we're bringing accountability to not only the athletes, but the coaches to say, hey, listen, how are you in this? How are you in fostering a great environment, conflict resolution, planning, goal setting, et cetera, so that the coaches can actually have an opportunity to improve. It's not to hold their feet to the fire. It's just to make sure that what we want, again, the activation and accountability piece, to support the information and education that we have. You know, multi-sport athletes, 89% of the players in the Super Bowl last year, multi-sport athletes. We can see Div 1 schools increasingly looking for multi-sport athletes as they look to recruit. Second point I want to bring up to Katie's point is we don't ask 7 and 8 year olds to write their thesis or solve complex math equations. Why are we driving them to train to win? It doesn't make sense. We're not ready for that. That's not what they should be doing. They should be doing exactly the same in sport as they're doing in all the other academic subjects, literacy and numeracy. We would never think of fast tracking that or having someone write their SAT, in grade 4 or 5. But yet, when we come to the sports section, we're training to compete and we're training to win. That's reserved for 18, 19, when they've developed a whole host of well-rounded skills that can prepare them for both the positives and opportunities and some of the challenges that are going to come with that.
Now, do you have any tips for parents to help protect them maybe from overzealous coaches who have an agenda because they get paid when those children participate and take coaching from them? Do you have any tips for the parent to help them make an informed decision? Is this coach the right coach? Does he really have my child's best interest in mind, or is this guy just looking to get paid?
Yeah, and that is the $64 million question, quite literally, actually. And there is no easy answer for that because as a parent, it's very well-intentioned. We want the best for our kids. If someone comes up to me and says, hey, your kid is awesome, he should be over here, unless I'm in this field and I know what the other end of that could look like, I'm buying. Okay? And parents en masse will buy, and they do buy. I would suggest that, and again, there's no accountability. It's free market. It's free enterprise. If Katie wants to go out and host a track and field spring, summer, winter, fall, year-round session based on her success in her collegiate experience, she can. Nobody's going to stop her. And we see that happening across almost every single sport and carrying these sports all year round. So from a parent perspective, it's really educating yourself and understanding the delayed gratification. And unfortunately, guys, we all know it doesn't usually happen until the kid's actually burned out. And then the parents reflect and go, oh my, I should have done things differently. So, when Katie's talking to former athletes and bringing them on and having the conversations, there are a lot of athletes that are coming, forward now and talking about this, both that have gone through the system and got chewed up by it, and both that have gone through the system and really thrived and experienced. And they're just giving their own anecdotal takes on it. So that's one way you can do it. The other way is just by being informed, by, going to a coach and saying, what is your thought around the American development model or around long-term athlete development? What is your approach and stance on that? And see what they have to say. They will either A, not know what that means, B, poo-poo it and say, well, this is what we're doing here, and you're either in or you're out. Or C, they will give you an answer and give you some comfort in saying what they're doing is the right way. If you're a parent, in my opinion, of anyone U15, 16, and you go to a coach and those coaches tell you that you should only be and you can't only focus and you can only play this sport if you want to get to where you're going to go, you need to find another place to go and you need to find another coach for your kid. Because that is misinformation. And it's misinformation not just because of Matt's opinion, it's misinformation coming from the number of kids that are leaving sport and reporting why. It's misinformation from the evidence-based statistics that are showing the burnout and injury. It's not just anecdotal one person's opinion. So it's really, really buyer beware, and parents, think about what this is about. I mean, are you riding your kid's coattail to get a free scholarship? Is that what this is about? Because if you're going to do that, you could probably have paid for a school with the amount of money you're about to invest in sport. And as Katie knows, I think the stats are 6% of kids en masse, so that's an average from all sports, will continue on from high school and play collegiate sports. And of those that play collegiate sports, 2% will make it to the show, the big times. So, you know, start buying lottery tickets instead of making your kid hate you and sport.
Now, can you talk a little bit about personal sport record? How is it paid for? Is it a fee for the coach, the athlete, and the parent, or is it the league buys it? How does it work financially?
Yeah, so the model is $5 per month or $50 a year for that athlete to have and own and permission and share all their data. Multiple ways of covering that. We've got some leagues and organizations that are just weaving it into the fee, the registration fee, and now saying, okay, look, you're going to get this back. And, you know, if you want to have that data exported to scouts or anyone else, you can. If you just want to have it for your own development, great. But it's all there. It's no cost to the coaches. So coaches can come on, they can aggregate their team, just like a team snap scheduling application. And they can see, provided that athlete has permissioned them on the various assessments, they can see every single thing about that athlete. So now a coach can know what they're getting way before and have a historical snapshot and be better prepared to support that athlete's development. And for the organizations, what we've said is if you support us, we will provide you that data, that aggregate data that you're looking for. We'll provide that to you at no cost. And if you don't support us, we'll sell it to you. So what we want to do is, you know, really put the responsibility on the athlete to own the data. In thinking about it, we had an application that we gave away for free, and we did that for 5 years on the physical literacy space. And what we found, Stone, was that, and then we started charging for it. And what we found was when people paid for something, they valued it more. When we gave it away for free, they didn't value it. So hence the nominal $5 a month fee.
I mean, that is it's a cool model and how you go about aggregating that data for each individual athlete. And it's clear just from, based upon what you do, it's not just the development of the young athlete, but it's the development of the young person in general. So I was wondering, you know, how you talked about less than 6% of athletes go from high school to college athletics, and then even fewer than that go on to be professional athletes or Olympic athletes. It's such a small, minute number. So how do you think personal sport records prepares those athletes for the what's next? So young athletes, even if they never go on to play high school or collegiate athletics, how do you think that you're helping to prepare these young athletes, these young people, for what is next beyond the sport?
And I would answer it, number one, by saying responsibility. So I think, number one, by having the objective data, it actually, we're not lying to people, we're not fooling anybody. We're setting people up for reality. We're not having this big fluffy comfort, everybody's a winner and excels, which, don't get me wrong, there is a time and a place for that. But, you know, what we're seeing from a mental health perspective is really a lack of resilience in today's kid versus other kids. You know, and I'm not the old guy that's sitting here speaking, oh, the kids today are, but we're really seeing that, the lack of mental toughness, the lack, because everything is a win. Everything is a victory. Nobody's left behind. You know, you got it. You're great too. You can do this. You know what? In the real world, the reality is not everyone can do that. You know, not everybody is going to be equal at everything. Do they deserve equal opportunity? Yes. But guess what? I'm not that good at math. I should never be doing any one of your books for your accounting just because I want to. So I think, how does it prepare the athlete? It really says, here's what you're good at. Here's what you are good at. You know, an example of a sport record from an athletic standpoint is, you know, we tested and baselined up all these kids on their physical assessments. We had a kid that was 5'5", 79 pounds soaking wet, playing for a rep hockey team. And his testing was off the charts. And we said to his parents, like, your testing is off the charts. Have you ever considered playing soccer? Because you might, based on your testing scores, you might do really well in there. You should try it a couple days a week. They put him in soccer. He played a high level of soccer for 5 years and absolutely loved it. Didn't quit the sport of hockey, but found a different passion because we were actually aligned with what he was good at. So the data showed us what he was good at, and he was able to go and have a great experience versus pushing him into a box that he may or may not have been suited for long term. So, and again, he didn't give up the sport of hockey. It just became a second priority once he found this new sport where he was excelling. So I think, you know, the second point is it gives you the quantifiable data to understand where your strengths are and flow to strength-based, you know, strength-based leadership, strength-based understanding, strength-based learning.
What an inspiring and informative conversation, Matt Young with Personal Sport Record. This has been fantastic. I can't thank you enough for joining us. Before we wrap, Matt, I want to make sure that our listeners know where they can go to learn more and perhaps even have a conversation with you or someone on your team. So whatever's appropriate, website, email, but yet share some coordinates with us if you would.
Yeah, you bet. So we're www.personalsportrecord, all one word, .com. That's what we are and that's who we are. And I'm Matt at personalsportrecord.com and happy to talk with anybody that's listening and wants any more information on how to access us.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stone. And Katie, thank you for your commentary. And Lee, thanks very much for providing us with another platform and another touch point to get this very important message out there. Really, really appreciative.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor and Katie Galley. Our guest today, Matt Young, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.